honestly. Last time I was actually going to use that other mic, but I decided to use this since I invested in a belt this time, so it's not going to keep falling off. Distractions are so horrible up here. I'm nervous enough, and then if you've got this thing falling off, distractions come in many forms. I remember a story about a Finnish pastor, an elderly pastor who is now with the Lord. I wasn't in the service, but it was one Sunday morning when he was preaching, and he got very excited that morning as he was preaching. And all of a sudden, his false teeth flew out of his mouth, and he just swung his hand, grabbed them in midair, and put them back in his mouth, and continued preaching. I don't know if anybody heard his sermon after that. Thankfully, I don't have false teeth, so you don't have to worry about that. God is good. Thank you, worship team. That was beautiful. It's just so wonderful to be there and being blessed by the team. Yeah, thank you. I have a message today that is called I Am, which is one of the names of God, I'm sure you know. Names are so important. God calls you by name. Now, our parents have given us a name. We don't always like the name. Who likes their name? Put up your hand. Oh, wow. Wonderful. Yay. Anyway, I remember when I started kindergarten here in Canada, I had a very different name. And every elementary school teacher said my name in a different way. They pronounced it in a different way. Four letters. How complicated does it get? But that's the way it was. And so I always wished I could be called Susan or Nancy or something really simple. And I remember often when I tell people my name, I get different responses. And there's two responses I just want to share with you since we're talking about names. I remember I introduced myself to my daughter's friend one time, and I always just say my first name because it's just too complicated to say both names. And later I heard this friend asked my daughter, why did your mom tell me her profession? I thought she was going to tell me her name. And I just said OT, and she thought I was an occupational therapist. And I was presenting myself with my profession, you know. She was strange, so strange name. And then this is the best of all. I was working at Rest Haven Lodge as a companion, and this sweet little old lady, she was my client, and she asked me my name, and so again, I just said the first name, keep things simple, and she looked up at me, almost shocked, and she said, oh dear, you better go talk to your mom. Believe me, I've talked to my mom. She's, both mom and dad are here today, and I have talked to her about my name many times, and she understands that. No, but that said, I know God has given you your name. I believe God, well, we know God created us, and I believe he was involved when your parents were picking your name. Your name is significant. It means something. I still need to figure that out myself, but I'm working on it. Let's pray before we get into God's word. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you that we can come freely and boldly into your house of prayer this morning to receive from you. We have already received just from the worship. God, we need to receive from your word this morning. Help me share this message that you have put on my heart humbly in the way that you would want me to share it. Lord, sanctify our ears to hear what you have to say to us. Your word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our path. Lamp unto, your word is a lamp. Somebody help me. And light unto our path, yes. Lamp unto our feet, light unto our path. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a storm out at sea? At night, frightened Roland? I kind of figured you would have. Trevor is another sailor. I don't know if he's here today, but I'm sure he has had that experience. Well, the disciples had an experience like that. So I'm just going to read about it in John chapter 6. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. Then the sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat. And they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Don't you love the way Jesus answered them? "It is I, don't be afraid." He could have used words like, "I am Jesus, don't be afraid. I am the light of the world." It was dark, but Jesus didn't say that. He could have said, "I'm the King of Kings. Don't be afraid." He just said, "It is I." And I think he knew or trusted that the disciples would know who he was. They did receive him into the boat. I remember a time in my life when I was distressed about something. I believe it was work-related. But I was in such a state that I just didn't have peace. And I prayed, and I still didn't have peace. But then I picked up the Word of God, and I opened it up to this verse. It's like this verse, these words were right there when I looked down. "It is I, do not be afraid." And I remember, it's like those words just jumped out of the page, landed right in my heart. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding just overwhelmed me. And I knew everything was going to be okay. I'm sure you have had experiences like that. The Israelites experienced the same kind of consolation during the 40 years in the wilderness. They had to face some fierce challenges because of their disobedience, but God continually showed himself faithful, even though they grumbled and complained. He led them with a pillar of fire. Can you imagine? Just picture it. They had manna to eat every single day. He did wonders in the midst of them, time and time again. And I'm sure you remember the way God delivered them out of Egypt. He opened the Red Sea so they would get safely to the other side. I think that's just one of the most incredible miracles in the Bible. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, it tells of the mission that God gave Moses. Moses asked God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God answered, "I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites: I am has sent you." When God said to Moses, "I am who I am," he announced to Moses and the people the name by which he wanted to be known. It was a name that completely encompassed who he was, who he is, a reliable and faithful God who desires the worship of his people. Even today, he is in their midst. God loves his own with a great love. God redeemed his people out of Egypt. And this shows us as well that he redeemed us. He redeemed all of us, not just the Israelites, but he redeemed us, the Gentiles. Israel has seen more wars than any other nation. the fact that this little nation, when you look at the map, the world map, we know how small Israel is. It's like a dot up there. But the fact that it stands strong today, is a blessed nation, clearly indicates that God's mighty hand is upon Israel today. My friend was in Israel during one of the wars in the 1990s. She said that she was so frightened as she heard the bombings day and night. But as she spent time in prayer, God showed her a picture of God's arms over Israel, and all the bombs were dropping and landing on his arms. Isn't that a beautiful picture of how he protects his people? I once saw a documentary film in which Israeli soldiers were in a landmine area. If they had tried to reach to the other side, they would surely have perished. The soldiers knelt down to pray, and all of a sudden, a sandstorm came out of nowhere. And when it had settled, all the landmines were on the surface to be seen. And the soldiers walked safely over to the other side. God was I am to the soldiers. Israel is precious to God and destined to have a close relationship with him. It's a covenant relationship, meaning that it cannot be broken. They are the only nation God called into being for the purpose of reflecting his standards in the world through whom he could send the Savior, Jesus. Now, my message is a little bit different today, but this message has been brewing on my heart for a few years, and I've been just waiting for the Lord to say, okay, it's time to give this message. I felt I should share with you about a trip to Finland that I took in 2014. It was life-changing, to say the least. We visited many churches with friends from the Chosen People Ministries. We also visited Latvia and Lithuania. We had the opportunity to share the gospel at 4 different events. One of them was a Jewish community event. Now, they were not expecting to hear the gospel, and so after the message, the speaker started to speak, there was some murmuring. You could tell that they weren't quite happy that we were sharing the gospel. But our leader felt it so strongly that we needed to share it today because he didn't know if they would be invited back. One of the services was in a beautiful synagogue. We traveled with a world-renowned violinist, Sergei Popov. What a blessing it was to hear him play. I remember seeing many wiping their eyes when they watched a dramatization of the Holocaust while listening to him play Schindler's List on his violin. It was a very solemn and sobering thing to behold. During that trip, we visited the Panerai Holocaust Memorial site in the capital of Lithuania. I have some pictures here that I wanted to share. I want to share what happened in that park during the Second World War. About 100,000 people were killed within 2 years at this park. 70,000 were Lithuanian Jews, 20,000 were Polish, 10,000 were Russian prisoners of war. 250,000 of the Vilnius Jewish population were killed. Vilnius has more than 200 places of death, and the Panerai Memorial Park is the largest and most horrific. In the final stages of the war, the perpetrators wanted to dispose of the evidence by burning the corpses. As you see in these pictures, they dug out humongous pits to bury them in. In this park, there were many, many pits, just like the ones in this picture. I remember standing at a spot where 25,000 Jews were killed in 2 days. 2 days. They just lined them up and killed them. and then drop them into the pits. As a group, we stood in absolute silence. There are no words to describe that moment. The leader of the Chosen People Ministry of Finland told us that when he was in that same park a year ago, no birds were singing. Not one bird was singing. But this time, there were birds singing, and I remember hearing them. And the leader wasn't quite sure about the significance of this, but he thought that it could possibly mean that there had been some healing that had happened in that city. There is no group of people that have been so persecuted as the Jews. The spirit of antisemitism is stronger today than ever before in history. Apparently, antisemitism has increased in British Columbia more than in any other province in the last couple of years. Think about that. It has seeped into every medium and is increasing continuously. In a documentary that I watched recently, a Holocaust survivor describes antisemitism as being in the atmosphere. A very alarming statement. I trust you know what antisemitism means. It is hatred of the Jews. Why would we have any right to hate anybody that is born into a certain ethnicity? We don't. As the body of Christ, we need to stand alongside the Jews. If we don't, if the church doesn't, who will? We need to pray for them, defend them at all costs. We know that God takes care of his people, and he is I am to them today. But there's a very sobering question that we need to ask. If the church had stood up for the Jews, would the Holocaust have happened? God has an amazing redemptive plan for his people. The great I am, Jesus, has an amazing plan for you, for every believer, for the Jews and the Gentiles. In Ephesians 2:14-16, it says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." When Jesus died for us on the cross, he broke the wall of division between Jews and Gentiles. Jesus paid the ultimate price, a cruel death, so that we can be one in Christ. We all stand equal in the eyes of God, no matter what color our skin is. Derek Prince has written a book called Blessing or Cursing. This is a quote from his book. "Antisemitism is an attitude that provokes a curse from God. It is a matter of conscious attitude of the heart. History tells us that the Jews did not find the Christian church an ally." A professor named Susan Heschel has studied antisemitism throughout history. And these are some of the comments in the documentary that she made. Beginning of quote, "In the 14th century, Jews were blamed by the Christians for the Black Death. They were accused of poisoning wells. They were all lies. In the 15th century, there was a rise of the ritual murder charge claiming that Jews need to have the blood of Christian infants or Christian children for rituals. None of this was true. In early modern Europe, Jews were forced into certain professions and excluded from some professions. Throughout history, the Jew has been portrayed as the other, not my neighbor, not my sister or brother, but someone to be vilified. The very root of anti-Semitism comes from the early teachings of Christianity. To me, that is horrific. And it still exists today. Most Christians in 1930s Europe had some form of anti-Semitism within them. There was official teaching in the church that it was okay to dislike Jews if they were doing something in society, but you could not hate them racially. A few weeks ago, we heard Jeff Feuders talk about replacement theology that is being taught today in many churches, including evangelical churches. They teach us that the church has replaced Israel, that the promises that God gave in his word to Israel now belong only to the church, not to the Jews. If that's the case, it negates the promises he's made to us, don't you think? It's complete heresy. I remember when in Finland on this tour, there were some churches that did not welcome us because of whom we represented. This was in 2014. In Genesis 12:3, it says, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God's blessings flow to the churches and nations when their attitude to Israel is the same as his. There is an urgent need to pray for the government leaders in Canada that they would support Israel. If there has ever been a time to pray for the government, it is now. I also attended a very enlightening seminar in Finland. The German leader of Chosen People Ministries, Vladimir Pickman, was the speaker at the seminar. He talked about things that gave me a completely new perspective, and I really felt I needed to share that with you. Vladimir Pickman said this, beginning of quote, the gospel is to be preached to the Jews first. The Jews were the first to hear the gospel. Jesus, Yeshua, is the king of the Jews. So the Jewish people had to get the gospel first. The gospel of Jesus is Judaism on a biblical basis and a historical basis. The Jewish gospel was the first gospel. If Jesus is not the Messiah of the Jews, he is also not the Christ of the Gentiles. End of quote. In Romans 1:16, Paul says these powerful words, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Then Pickman said this, beginning of quote, if you have no love for the people of God, you do not understand God as you should. Many Christians rejoice in Jesus. They go to church faithfully every Sunday to worship God, but they do not have a clue how God feels about his people. You can enjoy life with Christ, but if you do not love Israel, you will not be able to understand the heart of God. Luke 19:41-42 says this, now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. Jesus cried for his people because he knew what was going to happen to them. Jesus showed God's heart. Jesus was looking for his sheep, and he suffered deeply because they were lost. Do we have a heart for the Jewish people? Do we have a heart for the lost? Another quote from Pickman. Our joy will not be complete until the Jewish people return to Jesus. If you want to live in God's will and his plan, you need to take the message to the Jews. If you can do nothing else, pray for them. We as the body of Christ here at Highway Christian Fellowship must cry out for God's people, for Israel. I can say that in almost every Thursday night prayer meeting, we pray for Israel. We intercede on their behalf. And there are people here who are praying for Israel. But I believe God is calling all of us, every single one of us, to start doing something more. The return of the Jews to their Messiah has everything to do with the second coming of Christ. Do you see how important it is to pray for them? In the Gospel of John 8:58, Jesus describes himself as a Jew, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. He identifies himself as God of Israel, saying, I am rather than I was. Jesus expressed his eternity when he said this, his existence and his oneness with the Father. Let me repeat, Jesus, Yeshua, is Jewish. He's a Jew. I think sometimes we forget that. As a worship leader, I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus loves to hear Jewish songs. We heard some today. And I really believe there is a blessing in singing Jewish songs, especially when we add the Hebrew lyrics. There's something that happens when we bring that into our worship. Thank you for doing that today. In John's Gospel, Jesus speaks about who he is in many different verses. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the only way to God. There are so many gods people worship today. But Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only way to the Father. Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The Sadducees and Pharisees were angry with Jesus' words. But how can you refute a man who preaches that he is the light of the world and then proves it by giving a blind man his sight? Who can proclaim that he is the resurrection and the life? Jesus expresses it by raising a man from the dead. The Pharisees and Sadducees did not believe, even when they saw the miracles and the wonders that Jesus did. Has God done miracles in your life? And you still have a hard time believing that he loves you with an everlasting love? And that he cares for your every need? And that you can trust him with your whole life? Sometimes it's just so hard to believe. We often get these doubts that we're not good enough to come to God, that he doesn't want to heal me, that I just haven't done enough for him. I haven't read the word, I haven't prayed enough, so I don't think God wants to heal me. We need to believe what he says in his word. The Gospel of John in chapter 18, 2-6, describes the moment when Jesus was arrested in the Kidron Garden. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. I wish I had been there to see that. I'm pretty sure that the soldiers who were ready to arrest Jesus knew who he was at that moment. Just picture that scene for a moment. These huge soldiers, armed with weapons. And Jesus says, "I am he." That's all he says. And they fell to the ground. Even at this moment, Jesus could have responded and said, "I am the Son of God. I am the King of Kings." But no, he said, "I am he." Jesus did not need any weapons. He had only to say, "I am." The word was his weapon. He didn't even touch the soldiers. It was by his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the whole group fell to the ground. Jesus has given us his word, this powerful word, to help us in our daily walk, to help us fight the enemy when he comes in like a roaring lion, and he does. I'm sure you know, he comes in and tries to attack us, and he knows exactly the buttons to push. That's why we need this. We need God's word. We need to be in his word daily. We need to be in prayer daily. We can't do it. We cannot do this Christian walk without it. We need God's word. Do you believe when God speaks to you? Sometimes he has to get our attention in some way, as he most certainly did with these soldiers. Do you believe that God is I am in your life? He has been I am to all of us. Before we were even born. What are you facing today? What are you afraid of? He says to you right now, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Remember what happened to the disciples that stormy night. It says the disciples willingly received Jesus into the boat. And immediately they reached land where they were going. No sailor can do that. Only Jesus can. Jesus does the impossible when there's no other way. But we have to ask for help. The disciples welcomed Jesus into the boat. Are you ready to welcome in him into your circumstance? Maybe you've never received Jesus. Maybe you've been sitting in church for years. You've heard the message. But every time you leave, you go home without him. You don't know if you have tomorrow. Our eternity is at stake. Our lives here are very short. God has given us maybe 100 years, maybe less. But when you think about eternity, that's forever. That's forever. We have to make a choice for Christ today. Because there are only two options. Jesus wants us to be with him forever. And that's why he made heaven. He made it a place where he will welcome us one day, where there's no more crying, there's no more pain, there's no more sickness. That's what a believer has waiting for them. It's a beautiful, beautiful eternity. But if you don't know Christ when he comes, because Jesus is coming back, he is coming back for his own, for a church that is washed in his blood. But if you're not ready when he comes, the only place there is for you is eternity in hell. God did not make that place for human beings. He did not make that place for you. He made it for his demons. But God, by his grace, he gives us opportunity to come to him because of his great love. He died for you. He died for you, for your sins. That's how much he loves you. He doesn't really have to do anything else for us. I think he did everything when he was on that cross. He gave everything for us. Don't turn him away. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." It is not by anything that you can do that you can earn salvation. Because then we would boast about it. It is all by his grace and his mercy that we have the gift of salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up on the platform. I'm just going to say a prayer, close in prayer. Dear Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that you came for us. We thank you that you loved us so much, that you willingly gave your life on that cruel cross. You paid the ultimate price for us. Thank you that you are I am for us today. That we don't have to fear anything. We don't have to fear the future. We can trust you with our whole life. And we can come to you boldly to your throne of grace without fear of condemnation. You do not have to fear condemnation. There are so many who will not go before the Lord because they're afraid of what God is going to say to them. He will never condemn you. He He will love you. He will embrace you with his arms, his loving arms, and love you. And he will speak into your circumstance if you let him. But you have to receive him. You have to be willing. He is saying to you, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If you need God to do a miracle for you today, put up your hand. No one looking around. Put up your hand. Just let him know. Because when you put up your hand, you're reaching out in faith. And you're saying, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you right now. I'm afraid. I have doubts. I don't understand why things have happened the way they have. But I want you to help me right now understand and bring healing and to do a miracle in my life. Maybe it's for your family. Lord, I pray for everyone who needs that miracle today. Jesus, I just pray that you touch them by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, just go into those places that need your touch. I remember that story about the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said, it's by your faith that you are healed. That woman reached out and touched Jesus, and she was made whole. Just reach out to him right now. Just reach out to him right now. He is the way maker. He is the way maker. He is the God of the impossible. And I just speak that over every circumstance here, that he will make a way. He will make a way for you where there is no way. He will answer that prayer when you invite him into your life. You just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Call out to him. He's just waiting. He's just waiting. With arms open wide, he's waiting for you. Thank you, Lord. While the worship team sings, if you want prayer, if you want some people in the prayer team to come and pray for you, I'm just going to open this altar. You can come. Don't worry about what your neighbor thinks. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.